طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our sixth session for basic Arabic grammar review. And today, inshallah, we're going to look in detail at the conjugation of the past tense, yani triliteral past tense verb. Last week we looked at it briefly at the end of the class. Yani after spending most of the time last week looking at the different categories or groups of the past tense verb, yani how they're classified or categorized into different groups according to the past tense and present tense vowel in the middle radical. We talked about that a lot last week, and I said that what is more important even than that is the actual conjugation of the past tense verb, and that's what we want to deal with today. We looked at it last week on page 7, yani how the past tense verb is conjugated in its different forms in consideration of the one who's doing the action of the verb. Yani, is it the first person, the speaker, who's talking about himself, that I read, I sat, I ate, or whatever? Or is it in consideration of the second person, the one who's being addressed? You sat, or you went, or you came, or you laughed, or you read, or whatever. Yani, this is the first consideration that we want to look at when we look at the past tense verb. Is it, yani, in consideration of the first person, the speaker, the second person, the one being spoken to, which could either be masculine or feminine, or the third person, the one being spoken about, which also can be either masculine or feminine? That's our first consideration, yani first person, second person, third person. The second consideration is the one doing the action is masculine or feminine. Okay, because the verb form in the second and third person position can reflect the speaker being masculine or feminine. And the last thing that we want to look at is whether or not the one doing the action of the verb, is it in the singular or is it in the plural, meaning three or more? Is it singular, one person doing the action, or is it plural, three or more? We said that the dual, which means two people, the dual, we're not going to deal with now. That's something that will come later. So the duals, I asked you to mark them off or check them off. We're not going to deal with all the duals in here. There are one, two, three, four verb forms that are dual. We're not going to deal with those. Those came later on, like far down the line. All right, so we just want to look at the singular and the plural. And today, inshallah, we will see that for the singular and plural forms of the past tense verb, there are 10 forms. Two forms for the first person, singular and plural. Four forms for the second person, masculine and feminine singular, masculine and feminine plural. And four forms for the third person, yani, meaning singular and plural, masculine and feminine. So there are, yani, 8 forms of the verb that we want to look at. And today, inshallah, we want to look at these 10 forms. We want to look at these 10 forms, and we want to look at how the verb changes when we conjugate the verb, meaning when we change the form of the verb to reflect the doer of the action. Is it first person? Is it second person? Is it third person? Is it singular? Is it plural? Is it masculine or feminine? Bismillah. Again, what we would look at today, we would look at the conjugation. Alaykum salam. Conjugation of the triliteral past tense verb. What do we mean by triliteral past tense verb? We mean that it has 3 radicals, as opposed to verbs which have 4 radicals. Meaning, in the root of the verb, it originally starts with 3 radicals. Letters may be added to these 3 radicals as prefixes or suffixes, but the actual root has 3. Okay, or the other verbs that actually in the root have 4. And then you can add prefix and suffix to increase the letters for, yani, to reflect different meanings. But when the root has 3 radicals, 3 original letters from their root, this is called triliteral. Past tense, we mean that the action happened in the past. It's finished, it's completed. We're not talking about present tense or future, right? We're talking about past tense. Triliteral past tense verb. And we said the conjugation. What do we mean by conjugation? We mean changing the verb form. Changing the verb form, for example, from ذهبت to ذهبت to ذهبت. Just these different forms. When we change it from one form to another, this is called conjugation of the verb. Tasrif. Conjugation of the verb. This conjugation of the verb enables us to express the meaning of that action in that verb. For example, ذهَبَ means to go. ذهَبَ, he went. But what if I want to say she went? So I have to change the form a little bit. I have to modify it to change it from he went to she went. So I change it from ذهَبَ, I add ta with sukun on the end, it became ذهَبَت. What if I want to say I went? Then I have to change it to ذهَبْتُ. You went, masculine, ذهَبْتَ. You went, speaking to a female, feminine, ذهَبْتِ. We went, I'll change it to ذهَبْنَا. Notice that when we're changing the verb form in the past tense, we're adding a suffix to the end of it. Okay? That's how you change the verb in the past tense, you add a suffix to the end of it. If we were looking at the present tense, mudhari verb, we change it by adding a suffix to the beginning, a prefix to the beginning of it. Okay? So, the prefix in the beginning of the present tense verb tells us about the doer of the action. The suffix here, on the end of the past tense verb, tells us who's the doer of the action. Alright? So, adding these suffixes to the past tense verb tells us who's doing the action of that verb. Am I speaking about myself, the first person, speaker? Or am I speaking about you, the one I'm speaking to? Okay, that suffix tells us who's doing the action. Is it me? Is it you? Is it somebody else that we're talking about? Okay, the suffix that we add to the end of the past tense verb tells us who's doing the action. Changing the verb form on the end by adding a suffix from one suffix to another, this changing of the verb form is called conjugation, meaning changing the verb to indicate who's doing the action. And this is done in the past tense by adding a suffix to the end of it. So we will see that there are different suffixes added. I tried to highlight them by using red, right? I don't know if it's clear to the sisters from the camera, but hopefully, yani, we'll explain it clearly so it'll be clear, alright? So, these suffixes at the end here, that I have written in red, they are the changes that the verb goes through in the past tense that indicate who is the fa'il, yani the doer of the action. Who is the one who's doing the action? These suffixes can be added to any past tense verb to tell us who's doing the action. The same suffix, put it on any verb, and it modifies that verb to mean that particular person is doing the action. So what we have to learn here is we have to learn these suffixes. These suffixes were given to us on various types of verbs in Medina Book 1 in different chapters. Okay? In the chapter 8, we see the first verb form comes with the verb jalasa and maybe another verb. Okay? We see the first verb form coming. It's the verb form for the singular, third person, yani the one who's being spoken about, masculine, ذهب, means he went. In future chapters, in 10 and 12 and 14 and 15, we will see other suffixes are given to add to the end of the verb to indicate, yani, third person, singular, feminine, second person, singular, plural, and so on. We'll see that in some of the chapters as we go along, we'll see the verb, yani the different conjugated forms of the verb being introduced, chapter by chapter, not all at one time. Today we want to look at all of them overall. Now, some of us are already familiar with these because we covered this when we completed book number one. We covered all of these forms in book number one. But if somebody is not familiar with these verb forms, and this is the first time you're seeing it, then what I would say to you is, what you have to do is, step by step, memorize the suffix that's at the end of the past tense verb that tells you who's doing the action. That's what you have to do. If you memorize them all in 1 week, alhamdulillah. If it takes 2 weeks, no problem. Whatever amount of time it takes you, but the point is, yani, every day you should be working on this until you memorize these forms, 10 forms of the verb. Now notice, I don't know if you noticed, but you may have noticed, that there are two verb forms here that are a little bit different than the rest of the verb forms. Yani, they all have the triliteral root. The letter thou, the letter ha, and the letter ba. Wa alaykum salam wa salam. All of them have the triliteral root. But then they have these suffixes added, right? That distinguish one verb form from the other, right? But there are two verb forms here that have something different than the other, eight. Does anybody know which two they are? Yes. Amir. Okay, ذهبوا. What's different about it? Okay, but this is the suffix added to it. All of them have suffixes, right?
Oh, you
said
no. Okay.
There are 10 forms here. Two of them are different than the rest of them. Adam.
Yes.
ذهبتم and ذهبتن. They also have a suffix here. Like the rest of them, they all have suffixes. Okay. The two that are different here, they don't have a suffix added. ذهبا. And although it may not be crystal clear, but I didn't write this ta in red, so that hopefully perhaps you would realize that there's something different here. Okay? These two forms are actually different. There's no suffix added here. There is a suffix added here, but this suffix is not to indicate the doer of the action. It's only to distinguish between the masculine and feminine third person singular. So we'll know the difference between them. But this ta here is not the doer of the action. Unlike these other suffixes, tu, ta, ti, na, tum, tunna, this wow and na. These suffixes tell us who's doing the action. This ta is not telling us who's doing the action. It's just to distinguish between the third person masculine form, dhahaba, and third person feminine form, dhahaba, with ta on the end. That ta is just added to distinguish. Otherwise, if this ta is not there, then these two will both be dhahaba. There's no difference between masculine and feminine. So in order to distinguish, they put this ta. It's called ta at-ta'nith. The ta of ta'nith, meaning the ta of femininity. To distinguish the feminine form from the masculine form in the third person singular. Alright? So other than these two, all of the rest of them have a red suffix added to the end, and that red suffix is the fa'il. That red suffix is what? The fa'il. Okay, what is the fa'il? The fa'il is the doer of the action. Fa'il is the doer of the action. Meaning the one who's doing the action, the subject, doer of the action.
Category?
Yeah, if I'm describing myself as the first person, the speaker, right? I'm the first person, and I'm describing myself doing a certain action, okay? And I said, I read the book. Okay, I'm talking about myself. So for the first person, there's a suffix that you have to use. The suffix that you use when you're talking about yourself in the singular is to. To. If I say, I read, from the verb qara'a, I say qara'tu. Whenever you hear tu, that means the person is talking about themselves. Okay? Whenever you have tu, whenever you hear the sound tu on the end of the past tense verb, that means the speaker, the one who's talking, is talking about themselves. The habtu. If I'm talking about you, I'm saying you read, then I have to change it to second person masculine. Second person, yani second person means the one who is being spoken to. The one that is being spoken to by the speaker. The speaker is the first person. The one I'm speaking to is the second person. If it's masculine, then I would say ta. Dhahab ta. Anta. Dhahab ta. Anta. Alright? If I was speaking to my daughter, second person, feminine singular, I would say ti, zahab ti. Okay, so the second person is going to be ta, singular is going to be ta with fatha, or ta with kasra. If it's masculine, ta with fatha, zahab ta, jalas ta, kharaj ta, it's going to be ta. If it's feminine, it's going to be ti. You say, you, speaking to your sister, or your daughter, or your mother, you're going to say, you, anti, jalasti, you sat, kharajti, You went out. دخلتي. You entered. Huh? قرأتي. You read. Like this, okay? The important thing here today is that you get the concept. As far as memorizing those endings, you can memorize them in time. If you don't know them, you can memorize them in time. Even if you do one a day, inshallah, you come back next week and you have most of them. If you do one a day, just memorize, writing some ta today, and memorize t tomorrow, and memorize two the next day. Khalas, every day you memorize one and add it to what you memorized from the previous days. And by next week, inshallah, you'll have most of them. Alright, the important thing again here is the concept, okay? The concept. There are three things that I mentioned in the beginning in terms of concept. The first thing that we have to be very, very aware of, number one, is that the conjugation of the verb, we're talking about three matters. We're talking about the person who's doing the action, is it the first person, yani the speaker? Or is it the second person, meaning the one who is being spoken to? Or is it the third person, the one who is being spoken about? This is the first thing that we have to consider in reference to the past tense verb. Are we talking about the one who is doing the action? Is it the first, second, or third person? The second thing that we want to consider is the one who is doing the action, is it masculine? Is it a man, a male? Or is it feminine? Female, feminine. Okay, the first thing that we want to consider is, the one who's doing the action of the verb, is it first person, the speaker, second person, the one that the speaker is speaking to, or the third person, the one that he's speaking about? The next thing we're going to look at, the one who's doing the action, the fa'il, the one who's doing the do of the action, is he masculine or she is feminine? And the verb form you use is for masculine or feminine. And the third thing that we want to look at, is it, yani, the one who's doing the action is singular or plural? Yani, it could be singular, dual, or plural, but we're not talking about duals, right, at this level. So we're talking about what? The number. Yani, the speaker, first, second, or third person, the gender, masculine or feminine, and the number, singular, dual, or plural. These are the three things that we want to look at when we look at the conjugation of the verb. If you understand this concept, and you know that there are three things that we have to look at. The one who's doing the action, the fa'il. Is it the speaker, the one being spoken to, or the one being spoken about? If you understand that concept, who is actually doing the action? First person, second person, or third person? The next thing you have to look at, the one doing the action is masculine or feminine? And the third thing you have to look at, the one doing the action is singular, dual, or plural? And of course, dual we're not talking about today, okay? We're talking about the number. Any question about this? Any these three considerations? When you look at the conjugation of the past tense verb, these are the three things that you have to look at. Masculine, effeminate, singular, plural, or first, second, or third person. Any question about this? Okay. If that's clear, then the next thing that we want to look at is these considerations, first person, second person, or third person, masculine, feminine, singular, dual, or plural, all of them are indicated by the suffix that we add at the end of the past tense verb. Past tense verb, a suffix is added to it to indicate these things. The one who's doing the action is first person, second person, or third person, masculine or feminine, singular or plural. That's indicated by the suffix that's added at the end of the word, at the end of the verb, past tense verb. If we want to conjugate the verb, we have to change the suffix at the end of the root of the verb. The root of the verb is the triliteral root, yani the three letters. Akhi, you want to pray?
Yeah.
You can pray here. There, into the corner.
We
didn't pray Dhuhr, no. At 12:30 is the Iqama, inshallah. 5 minutes. Tayyib. So what you want to look at, right? You want to look at this suffix that tells us these affairs, these three subjects. Yani is indicated in the suffix at the end. Except that there are two forms of the verb from these 10, not counting the dual, there are two that don't have a suffix added that tell us the one who's doing the action. And that means that the one doing the action is what is called in these two forms, is called dhamir, a pronoun, that is mustatir, hidden. Yani it's not seen. We don't write something at the end to indicate it. It's hidden. It's called damir mustatir. We'll come back to this. But in these two forms, it's going to be he and she, huwa and hiya. It's understood. But in the rest of them, we're going to actually write a suffix at the end of the word to indicate who's doing the action. Indicates, is it masculine, feminine, singular, dual, plural, first person, second person, or third person. And this is what we want to cover today. We want to look at each of these suffixes, and we're going to try to memorize each suffix, and then we want to practice with different verbs. We want to change from dhahaba to another verb, like dakhala, he entered, or kharaja, he went out, or akala, or shariba, or qara'a, or kataba. Whatever verb we want to use, we're going to look at it and see how we put this ending on every verb. It's going to tell us the same thing. Who's doing the action? Singular, dual, plural, masculine, feminine, first person, second person, or third person. That's what we're going to do today, inshallah. We're going to take a break now for salat. We have a chance to pray sunnah prayers, and then after the salat, we'll come back to this. Look at the conjugation and try a little past tense verb, inshallah.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam, ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd.
Okay, today this is our sixth session, or this is the second part of our sixth session from Basic Arabic Grammar Review. Before the Salat, we began to talk about the topic for today, that is the triliteral past tense verb in Arabic. And we discussed, briefly, the outline of what is required for this particular topic. And again, I just want to always emphasize that this class is intended as a review, right? This class is a review of some of the, or most of the most important grammatical rules that are covered in Medina Book 1, yani Level 1 course for Medina Book. There are a lot of subsidiary points or secondary matters in Medina Book 1 that are not covered in this review, that are not covered at all. But most of the main grammatical points are covered here, okay? So maybe there's like 14 or 15 very, very important grammatical points in Medina Book 1 that this review is intended to cover. And again, the point is what? That this is a review. So if we come across a subject that you're not familiar with at all, then you have to have patience and some diligence in going into the topic and giving it a lot of attention and care if it's something new to you. Because for the most part, this is actually intended to be as a review. And these are things that we covered previously. I said last week that in reference to the past tense, yani the triliteral past tense Arabic verb, yani it is covered piece by piece in the Medina Book 1 course. Yani the first time the past tense verb is introduced in Medina Book 1 is in lesson number 8. Yani the third person, masculine, singular, is given in that form. Yani when you're talking about, yani he went, or he entered, or he exited, or he sat. Yani they gave you the verb jalasa, he sat. So this is the first time that the past tense verb is introduced in Medina Book 1, in Lesson 8. It comes again in Lesson 10, and then in Lesson 12, and 13, and 14, and 15. So in each one of those lessons, some aspects of the conjugation of the past tense verb is given. They're given piecemeal, so that a person has a chance from one class to the next, from one lesson to the next, from one week to the next, to actually memorize and grasp, yani the different forms of the past tense verb. Here, since this is intended as a review, it's all given together, the whole picture. So you see that we have a chart here, and this chart actually gives us the main forms of the past tense verb, excluding the duals. Okay, at this level we're not talking about the dual forms for the past tense verb. So those dual forms are excluded, although they're given here, in the notes here, they're given, but we don't want to deal with them because they're not really intended to be studied at this level. So other than the duals, we have singular, and we have plural, we have masculine and feminine, and we have yani the different subject, the fa'il, doer of the action of the verb, whether it's first person, second person, or third person. In this chart here, we have all of this. First person, second person, third person, masculine and feminine, singular and plural. Now, Mustafa, you have a question? Okay, I thought maybe you were raising your hand. Looked like you were trying to lift it up. I don't know if it was heavy or what. Alright, so before the Salat, what we said is that there are three considerations that you must comprehend completely in order to understand how to conjugate the past tense verb. And again, when we say conjugation of the past tense verb, we mean modifying the root. Yani, for example, in this verb, the root is dhahaba. This is how you look it up in a dictionary. Under the third person, masculine singular. That's what you look up in the dictionary. ذهب, جلس, أكل, قرأ, كتب, like this. Okay? When you look up this root, then you'll find يعني, the meaning of it, and they'll also give you a vowel, which is the vowel for the middle radical of the present tense, mudari verb. But we're not dealing with mudari verb right now, we're dealing with the past tense. So this is the root. This root could be modified by adding a suffix to the end of it. Like you can modify it by adding to, ذهبت, which means I went. Or you can modify it by adding تا, ذهبت, which means second person, masculine singular, I'm speaking to you, saying you went, ذهبت. Or if I was speaking to my sister or my daughter or my mother or my wife, I would say ذهبت, ذهبت. Here we see in the plurals we have na, tum, tunna, we have this waw, ذهبوا, and we have noon with fatha, yani with a short vowel as opposed to the long vowel here in ذهبنا, and this one ذهبنا. These suffixes that are added to the end of the verb are the way we change or modify the past tense verb from its root by adding these suffixes in order to conjugate it. Conjugation means what? Modifying the verb to indicate the doer of the action. Who's doing the action of that verb? The fa'il. Who's doing the action? If you say to, it means I'm speaking about myself. I'm doing the action. If I say na, that means I'm saying we, as a group, we're doing the action. Meaning three or more people. If I put on the end of it, tum, that means I'm speaking to a group of men. A group, plural. Second person. Antum, yani ذهبتم. جلستم, أكلتم, قرأتم, ضربتم, like this. Alright? So depending on what suffix we add to the end of the past tense verb, we're talking about past tense verb. Present tense verb is different, right? It's a prefix on the beginning of it, but we're talking about past tense verb. Whatever suffix we add to the end of it, this is by changing the suffix on the end of it, this is how we conjugate the verb or modify it to indicate who is the fa'il, the doer of the action. Okay? And in reference to this, we said that there are three things that this suffix will indicate to us. It will tell us if the one doing the action, the fa'il, is the first person, speaker, second person, one who is being spoken to, or third person, the one that's being spoken about. Okay? It will tell us whether it is first, second, or third person. The second thing will also tell us whether the doer of the action is masculine or feminine. Masculine or feminine? Is it a male or a female? And the third thing will tell us whether or not the doer of the action is singular or plural. Any dual too, but again, we're not talking about dual, right? So tell us the number of the one who's doing the action. Is it one person or is it more than one person, masculine or feminine? Is it the speaker, the one being addressed, one being spoken to, or the one that is being spoken about? These three things are very, very important that you comprehend this and that you understand when you conjugate the verb. This is what we are looking to know. Who is the doer of the action? First person, second person, third person. Is the doer of the action masculine or feminine? Is the doer of the action singular or plural? Any question? Okay, hopefully this is clear, at least in concept. If it is clear in concept, then the practical application requires practice. Requires practice. Okay, anything that you are learning for the first time, in order to get good at it, you have to practice. You have to practice, okay? So my suggestion in order to practice, we're going to do a little bit of it today, and then this is what you should be doing. You should be taking different past tense verbs and conjugating them, meaning changing their forms from first person, singular, to second person, masculine, feminine, third person, masculine, feminine, going to plurals, first person, second person, third person. You should be going through this process of conjugating the verb. Huh? Keeping in mind that these endings, these suffixes, are what indicate the fa'il, the doer of the action. Then we said, before the salat, we also said what? That of these 10 forms, excluding the dual, two of them don't have a suffix that's added to the end of the word for the purpose of indicating the fa'il. They don't have a suffix that indicates the fa'il. One of them has no suffix at all. And the other does have a suffix, but this suffix is not the indication of the fa'il. This suffix is not telling us that who the fa'il is. Rather, this suffix is only to distinguish between the third person, masculine and feminine forms. Otherwise, they would be the same, ذهب and ذهب. So they added this suffix to tell us that this is different than this. Yani when you're speaking about masculine, it's ذهبه. If it's feminine, if the person is feminine, then they added this ta here to indicate that yani distinction between these two forms. This ta is not the fa'il, it's called ta at-ta'nith. At-ta'nith. Ta'nith is from mu'annath, meaning that it's feminine. It's just indicating that it's a feminine form. Okay, other than these two, and I have a star next to them, this star means that in these two there's no fa'il added to the end of the verb. Rather, the fa'il in these two forms is what is called a dhamir mustatir. Dhamir mustatir means hidden pronoun. Yani the pronoun, the fa'il, the doer of the action in these two verbs is not indicated by something that we see as a suffix added to the end. Rather, it's hidden, it's contained within the verb form itself. It's understood to be, in this case, huwa, he. And in this case, hiya, she. Okay, dhamir mustatir means a hidden pronoun. It's contained within the verb form itself without a suffix being added to indicate the fa'il, doer of the action. That pronoun that's hidden represents here huwa, and here it represents here, he and she. Third person, masculine or feminine singular, he or she. So this is really the core of our subject today. This is it. Yani, if you don't have a question about this, then yani, we can go on and start practicing. Okay, we'll take some examples and we'll practice with it a little bit. Okay, let me ask first before we go on. Who's already familiar with conjugation of the past tense verb? Yani, who finished book one and they know about this conjugation? Who knows about it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, Nasir.
Oh.
7. طيب. Okay, as far as the rest of our group today, those who are not yani completely familiar with the conjugation of the past tense verb, is there anybody that has no familiarity whatsoever with the conjugation of the past tense verb? Meaning you've never seen anything like this before at all. You've never seen anything like this before. Okay. Alright, so then that means that you're going to have to do a little bit extra work, right? A little bit extra work just means that what I would suggest to you that will make it easy for you is that every day take 10 or 15 minutes out of the whole day, 24 hours. And if you sleep for 5 or 6 hours, then you still have yani two or three hours left over, that they say 8 hours for sleep, right? So you got at least 2 or 3 hours left if you're not going to sleep those hours. And you have to go to work for 8 hours. If you work overtime, Annie, that's going to shorten your time a little bit, right, that you have left. And then you still have 8 hours left for eating and drinking and, I don't know, taking care of responsibility at home, your family, your children, spouse, all of that, right, whatever you have to do otherwise. From that time, from one of those 8 hours at work or 8 hours of sleep or 8 hours of the rest of that time that's left, just take 15 minutes out. That's all. 15, 20 minutes. And memorize one of these suffixes. Just one. Just memorize ta. Ta, for example. Or start with two, because you're first person speaker. And just practice with two. No, meaning that two means the first person, the speaker, singular. When I'm talking about myself, I say, I went the hub two. I sat jalas two. I ate akel two. I drank sharib two. Okay, just practice with that and just know that two is when I'm talking about myself. If I'm including others with me, we all did it together, I would say dhahab na. The next day take this one, na. Jalas na. Akel na. Kharaj na, katab na, like this. Second day, third day, take the next one. Ta, for example, t. And every day, just take one and practice with that one for 15 or 20 minutes, along with whatever you learned the day before, so you don't forget what you memorized the day before, right? And then when you come back next week, inshallah, you'll be finished with most of these, except these two, you don't need to add anything to them, right? So those are giveaways. That's 7 days plus two makes nine. You only have one left. Inshallah, next week you come like almost finished with this. Huh? Does it sound like it's too much or what? What about you, Tariq? What do you say? You can do it, right? Yeah, he said, no problem whatsoever. That's because he got a young, fresh mind, right? The older people probably saying, yeah, that's good for him. What about us old folks, right? Now, even for the older of us, inshallah, one a day is possible. It's practical. You can do it. It's doable. But you have to be what? On top of it. You have to be consistent. You have to be diligent. And you have to set your mind, you have to have firm resolve that I'm going to do this with what? Inshallah. Okay, inshallah, but I'm going to do this bi-idhnillah, bi-aunillah, with the help of Allah, by the permission of Allah. And so I'm going to ask Allah's help, and if I work hard, I'm going to do it, no doubt about it. That's a fact, that's guaranteed, okay? Because this is the formula that the Prophet ﷺ has given us. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka. Make effort, diligently seek that which benefits you. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ and seek help from Allah. If you do that, you're going to be successful. And the Prophet said, وَلَا تَعَجَنْ وَلَا تَعَجِزْ and he don't feel helpless. If you work hard, you're diligent in working, and you ask Allah's help, don't feel you can't do it. And it's guaranteed with the help of Allah. طيب. Alright, so let's look at these verb forms. I wrote some numbers here, small, very, very small. And you might want to make a note of them. I don't know if the sisters can see it. And it's kind of, I wrote it kind of small because I don't want it to interfere with the main part of this chart. But I wrote these numbers here. These numbers are the chapter numbers where this form of the verb is introduced in Medina Book 1. Okay, so if you want to look at the first person, singular, speaker, form of the verb, it came in chapter 10 in Medina Book 1. The second person, masculine, also came in chapter 10. The second person, feminine, came in chapter 12. The third person, yani masculine, singular, came in chapter 8, and the feminine came in chapter 12. Like this, okay? So first person plural came in chapter 14, and the second person, masculine plural, also came in chapter 14, and the feminine second person plural came in chapter 15, and the yani plural third person masculine came in chapter 13, and likewise the third person feminine plural came in chapter 13. Okay, what is the point of these numbers? These numbers are just to indicate to you, if you want to go back and see where those verbs were initially introduced in Medina Book 1, that's where they came at. Okay, but you don't have to go back there, it's not really necessary, but if you want to, just so you have a reference, you can go back to Medina Book 1 where these forms of the verb were introduced. As for us now, in terms of our review, it's just a matter of trying to make sure that we have memorized well the different suffixes that are added to the ends of the verb, which indicate the fa'il, the doer of the action, whether the fa'il is the speaker, first person, or the one being spoken to, second person, or the one being spoken about, third person, if the doer of the action is masculine or feminine, singular or plural. Okay, these suffixes give us this indication. It's mandatory that we memorize them, and the more you practice, the easier it becomes. Okay, so let's look at a verb here. Okay, let's look at a verb, another verb other than ذهب, and see how we change the suffix on the end to indicate the doer of the action. Okay, we're going to start with the first person, and then we're going to go to the second person, masculine and feminine, and then third person, masculine and feminine, and then plural, first person, plural, second person, masculine and feminine, and then third person, plural, masculine and feminine. Okay? The first person, singular, the speaker, the pronoun for it is I, right? I. The second person, you're speaking to somebody, you're going to say, what?
You.
I am speaking
you.
To you. You. Jamil, you sat. Okay? In English, there's no differentiation between you, masculine and feminine, singular or plural, right? But in Arabic, there is. So you have to keep in mind. Second person is you. If you're speaking to a man, you're going to say, yani, ذهبت. Speaking to a female, you're going to say, ذهبت. Okay? Third person, yani, singular, masculine is going to be he went. Feminine, singular, she went. Okay, and then the same thing here. Yani for the plural, the pronoun is going to be plural first person, we went. Yani, you, masculine and feminine. Plural, right? And then they, masculine, and they, feminine. Maybe I should write these pronouns here. And just to remind us, first person is I, right? Second person is you, masculine and feminine. Third person, masculine is he, feminine, she. The plural, first person, we. Second person, you. I don't know if you can say you all. I don't know if that's proper to say or not, but okay. Plural, third person, they, masculine, and they, feminine. Okay? Any question? Any question? Okay, let's look at a new verb here, another verb. This verb is going to be what? What verb we want to do? Huh? Nasara? Tayyib, Nasara, although, no problem, Nasara. That's good. What does that mean? Okay, to help. To help, to support. Naam. Nasara. Yani came in the Quran, right? Idha jaa Nasrullah. Idha jaa Nasrullah wa al-fath. Naam. Came in the Quran also. Laqad nasarakumullahu. Huh? Fi Badrin. Badr, in the Battle of Badr. Nasarakumullah. Allah helped you, supported you, gave you victory. And so on, like this. Nasara. Okay? First person, we say what? Okay, I forgot to mention that on most of the verb forms in the past tense, the last letter of the verb is going to be changed to, its vowel is going to be changed to sukoon before you add the suffix. Except for, of course, this one has no suffix, and this one also has no suffix for the fa'il, and this one here, it's not going to be a sukoon, it's going to be what? Zahabu, it's going to be a dhamma. It's going to change from fatta, zahaba, to dhamma. Zahabu. The rest of them, all of them going to be changed to sukoon. And then you add the suffix, okay? So nasara, if we want to say I helped, you will say what? Nasartu. Nasartu. Put sukoon on the last letter and then add the suffix. Nasartu. Okay, second person, you, masculine, you say? Nasarta. Nasarta, you helped. Feminine? Nasarti. Third person, masculine, he helped. You say what? Nasara. That's the original form of the verb, nasara. Feminine, she? Nasarat. With ta on the end, with sukun. That ta is called ta at ta'anif. The ta of femininity. To distinguish the third person, singular, masculine from feminine. Huh? Nasarat. First person, plural, we say what? Nasarna. No, make sure you elongate the vowel on the end, okay? Because otherwise, we're not going to distinguish it here from third person, feminine, plural. Nasarna. Huh? Nasarna. Second person, plural, masculine. Nasartum means you all helped and supported. Nasartum. Feminine? Nasartunna. Tunna. That's second person. Feminine, plural. Tunna. Third person, masculine, plural. Nasaru. Nasaru. Nasaru means they, masculine, nasaru. Remember in this third person, masculine plural, the vowel from the root is changed from fatta to dhamma. And then it's elongated by waw. That waw is the fa'il, the do of the action. It's called waw al-jama'ah. Al-jama'ah. Yani jama'ah means a group, right? So it's the waw that indicates plurality for masculinity. Now, nasaru. And then third person, feminine plural. Nasarna. Nasarna. If you look at the chart that we had on page, you don't have to look at it, but on page 7, you'll see that there are columns, and one of the columns tells you the doer of the action. Which part of this word is the doer of the action? Here, we'll see that in this verb, zahabu, the waw is the doer of the action. It's called waw al-jama'ah. And in this one, the noon is the doer of the action. It's called noon and niswa, meaning the noon for feminine plurality. Niswa, yani from Nisa. Niswa means women, right? So this is the noon of feminine plurality, Noon and Niswa. طيب, is there a question about what we just did? يعني, did anybody find any difficulty in it? And is it easy to follow? Okay, let's do another verb. Give me another verb. Huh? Kataba? طيب, kataba. Kataba. This is a good verb. This is a very common verb. Kataba means what?
He wrote,
okay? This is the root form here from the third person, masculine singular. Kataba. We put sukoon on the end on the last letter, and we add suffixes, then we can change for the conjugation, right? Okay, so first person singular, we say what? Ana, I wrote. Katabtu. You, masculine, wrote, you say what? Second person? Katabta. You, masculine singular. Feminine singular, you? Katabti. He wrote? Kataba. She wrote? Katabat. Don't say T. T is when you're speaking directly to a female. Katabat is when you're talking about a female. She. Katabat. With ta, with sukoon, ta, ta'anith, the ta of femininity. Okay, plural. First person, plural. We wrote. Katabna. You all wrote, masculine. Katabtum. You all wrote, feminine. Katabtunna. You're speaking to a group of women. And you have five sisters, three of them. Or maybe it's your mother and your wife and your daughter. That's three, right? Katab tunna. Okay? They wrote katabu, masculine and feminine. Katabna. Alright. Let's try to, yani, make it a little more challenging. Alright? Somebody give me a verb. That you want to conjugate for us, going through this column like this: first person, second person, third person, masculine, feminine, singular, plural. Who wants to give us a verb? Now, Abdulaziz, what verb you want to do? Dakhala. Okay, he said dakhala. Okay, what does that mean? Dakhala. To enter. He entered. Dakhala. He entered. The opposite of it is, he exited, right? Meaning, kharaja. Okay, dakhala. Dakhala. Three root letters. Dal, kha, lam. We're going to put sukoon, right, on the last letter, and add the suffixes. Except for this one, and this one. Alright, okay, let's go. First person. Ana, okay, he's talking about himself. Ana dakhaltu. Naam. Anta, you. Masculine singular, anta dakhalta. Naam. Anti dakhalti. Yani, meaning you, feminine singular, anti dakhalti. Huwa? Huwa, he, dakhala. Hiya? Yeah, she dakhalat. Just add ta with sukoon. Dakhalat. She. Hold on. Naam, Saeed, help us. Okay, look. So far, what he said, what he did for us, right? This is the original form. He added two for first person, right? He said dakhaltu. Second person, dakhalta. Feminine, dakhalti. Third person, we go back to the root. Da-kha-la. It doesn't have any suffix added. The difference between huwa and hiya, he and she, is that huwa is the original form of the verb, and its root that you find in the dictionary. And hiya, she, would be just with the ta with sukoon added to it, the original form of the verb. So if it was dhahaba, it became dhahabat. Here, with his verb, it was dakhala, so it became Dakhalat. Yani means she entered. If we said she sat, it would be jalasa, jala sat. Huh? If it was she ate, yani akala would become akalat. Naam. Shariba would become sharibat. I think you got it. Inshallah. Now, inshallah. Alright, this requires again practice, right? It requires practice. Like anything else, the more you practice, inshallah, the easier it becomes with the help of Allah. And everything that's difficult, Allah is the one who can make it easy. Huh? Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Oh Allah, there's nothing easy except what you made easy. The Prophet ﷺ used to say that. There's nothing easy except what you made easy. Wa anta taj'alu al-hazna idha shitta sa'ala. And you, oh Allah, are the one who makes difficult things easy. Huh? In shi'ta, if you will. If He wills. Huh? Allah is the one who makes difficult things easy. If you find difficulty in anything, just recite this. Remind yourself, as the Prophet ﷺ used to say, oh Allah, there's nothing easy except what you have made easy. And you are the one who makes difficult things easy, if you will, if Allah wills. And He asks Allah, I'll make it easy for you. Ask Allah, help me with this. Make this easy, I'm having difficulty. Huh? And Allah is able to do that. That's easy for Allah, inshallah. Alright, let's finish. Plurals. Okay, we're with the verb what? Dakhala. Naam, plural. First person plural. Nahnu, we, dakhalna. Second person, masculine plural. Antum, you all, dakhaltum. Feminine plural, second person? Antunna, meaning you all, feminine, females. Antunna, dakhaltunna. Tunna. Here's the suffix, what? Tunna, with shadda on the noon. Naam, third person, plural, masculine? Hum, they, we're talking about some other people, right? Hum, dakhalu. Notice that in this one, دخلوا, the last letter doesn't take sukun, but it takes what? Dhamma, which is elongated by waw al-jama'a, which is the sign of the fa'il being masculine plural. Naam. Third person feminine plural? Hunna dakhalna. Just with a short waw. Dakhalna. This noon here indicates feminine plurality. Noon and niswa. Dakhalna. Okay, somebody else. Give us another verb. Another verb. Naam, Amir. Jalasa. Jalasa. Tayyib. This is also a common word, mashallah. It's the first verb that they gave us in Medina, Book 1, Lesson 8. Jalasa. Jalasa means what? To sit. He sat. He sat. Okay, first person. Ana jalastu. Tu. Naam. Second person. Naam, anta jalasta. Ta. Jalasta. Naam, feminine?
Anti
jalasti. Anti jalasti. Yani jalasti. Ta. Ti. Huwa?
Jalasa.
Jalasa. Huwa jalasa. We want to change huwa to here. Jalasa became?
Jalasat.
Huwa jalasa. Here. Jalasat. Huwa dakhala. Here, dakhalat. Okay, plural. First person?
Jalasna.
Jalasna. We. Nahnu jalasna. Second person, masculine, plural?
Jalastum.
Jalastum. Huh? Feminine, second person, plural? Jalastunna. Huh? Shadda on the noon with the short vowel. Jalastunna. Jalastum, masculine. Jalastunna, feminine. Now, third person, masculine, plural?
Jalasu.
Jalasu. And third person, feminine, plural?
Jalasna.
Jalasna. Now, it's short, no elongation, right? Jalasu, they, masculine. Jalasna, they, feminine. Okay, question. What we're doing here is conjugating the verb, meaning modifying the past tense verb by adding a suffix that indicates the fa'il, the doer of the action. If the fa'il is the speaker, the one being spoken to, or someone being spoken about, is the fa'il masculine or feminine? And is it a female that you are addressing, saying anti? Huh? Or is it a male saying, you're saying anta, anta jalasta? Anti jalasti. Yani is it masculine or is it feminine? Is it singular or is it plural? The doer of the action that's indicated in the suffix at the end of the past tense verb. That's all we're doing. We're just what? Looking at these suffixes, Which suffix indicates masculine, feminine, singular, plural, first person, second person, third person? These three matters. First person, second person, third person, masculine, feminine, and singular and plural. That's it. That's what we're doing, okay? All right, let's do one more, and then we'll try to see any... One more. Somebody else, take a verb. Give us a verb. Naam, Adam. What verb you want to do? Huh? Sajada. Okay, this is a good one to stop on, right? Sajada. Sajada. What a word. Sajada. What does it mean? To prostrate. This is our constant occupation, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told a man who had given him some service, "Ask, what do you want?" He said, "I want to accompany you in Jannah. I want to accompany you in Jannah." That's a big order, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aw ghayra dhalik," yani something else. And that one is a big one. "Ask for something else." He said, "Only that. That's what I want. I don't want anything else. I don't want any money. I don't want camels. All I want to do is accompany you in Jannah." The Prophet ﷺ told him, "Then help me. Help me with what? Bi kathrati as-sujood. Help me to yani intercede for you to be in Jannah. How can you help me? By making a lot of salat. Kathratu sujood. A lot of prostration means what? Salat, salat. Not just prostrating by itself, means performing salat. Kathrat. Bi kathrati as-sujood. Huh? This is one of the ways that a person can enter Jannah, by worshipping Allah, especially by Salat. Especially this part of the Salat, yani as-sajda, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ فِي السُّجُودِ. The nearest that an abd will be to his Lord is when he is what? Or when she is in sujood. So this is critical for us. This is what we spend our life in, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in Salat, and especially in prostration. Tayyib, any question? Okay, let's do this last one, inshallah. Whose turn is this? Adam, yeah. Okay, we're dealing with the verb what? Sajada. Sajada. Huh? We're going to put sukun on it and add suffixes to indicate who's the doer of the action. Okay, first person, singular. Sajadtu. Ana sajadtu. I prostrated. Second person, masculine. Anta sajadta. Sajadta. Now, feminine. Anti sajadti. Sajadta sajadti. Huwa, third person masculine. Huwa sajada. Hiya, she sajadat. Yani sajada sajadat. Sajada sajadat. Plurals. First person plural. Sajadna. Nahnu. All of us prostrated. Naam. First person, I mean second person masculine plural. Sajadtum. Sajadtum. Feminine? Second person? Plural? Sajadtunna. Shadda on the noon, right? Sajadtunna. Third person? Masculine? Plural? Sajadu. Naam. Feminine? Plural? Third person? Sajadna. Okay, inshallah, it seems as though, yani, it seems to be yani pretty clear, and for some of us, if it's new to us, then it means what? It just means you have to practice. Okay, you have to take yani some of the verbs from the previous page 6. They gave us a list of different 6 columns of different verbs, right? Take any of those verbs, especially the 4 that I pointed out last week, the AA group, AI group, AU group, and IA group. Those 4 especially are the common verbs that we see in Medina Book 1. Take any verbs from those groups and yani try to practice with them. Okay, let's do it together now. Let's get another verb that we didn't do yet, and let's do it together. We're going to go from first person to second person, masculine and feminine, third person, masculine and feminine, okay? And then plurals, first person, second person, third person. Give me another verb. Huh? Shakara. Shakara means what? He thanked. He thanked. Yani he was thankful. He was grateful. He was appreciative. I need to be thankful. Ash-shukr. Huh? Ash-shukr. And it is incumbent upon us to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His favors. Yani this yani is obligatory upon us to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors. First and foremost, And then thankful to the people also, whoever يعني, helped you in any way, gave you anything, we should be thankful. This is part of يعني, the character of a Muslim. In fact, this is one of the two greatest characteristics of the Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said a person will be successful with. One of them is shukra, and the other one is, does anybody know what the other one is that's required for the believer? يعني, the Prophet ﷺ said, يعني, عجباً لأمر المؤمن. Amazing is the affair of the believer. إذا أصابته مصيبة صبرا. If a calamity befalls him, he's patient. And if good comes to him, he is شكرا. شكرا, he's thankful. These are the two great characters of a believer. Prophet ﷺ said, this is only for the believer. His affair, all of it. عجباً أمر المؤمن. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ. The whole of his affair, everything in his life is good. If good comes to him, he's thankful. And if harm comes to him, he's patient. If a person that does that, then their whole affair will be khair for them. And this is only so for the believer. It's not for anybody else. Only the believer can do this. And he can be thankful for everything that Allah gives and be patient with whatever Allah decrees that we don't like. Sabr. Shakara and sabra. Alright? طيب, let's do it together. Shakara. Shakara. Huh? Okay, first person. Shakartu. Second person. Shakarta and Shakarti. Third person. Shakara. Feminine. Shakarat. Plural. First person. Shakarna. Second person. Masculine. Shakartum. Feminine. Shakartunna. Third person, masculine. Shakaru. Feminine. Shakarna. Okay, let's do the other part of it. Sabara. 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 Now, first person. Sabartu. Second person. Sabarta. Feminine. Sabarti. Third person. Sabara. Sabara. Feminine. Sabarat. Plural, first person? Sabarna. Second person, masculine? Sabartum. Feminine? Sabartunna. Third person, masculine? Sabaru. Feminine? Sabarna. Jayyid. طيب. Let's get another verb that's in line with these verbs. Abada. Abada. Huh? What does it mean, abada? He worshipped, to worship. Abada, al-ibada, right? Al-ubudiyya, abada. First person? Abadtu. Second person, masculine? Abadta. Feminine? Abadti. Third person, masculine? Abada. Feminine? Abadat. Abadat. Feminine, first person, plural? Abadna. Second person, masculine? Abadtum. Feminine? Abadtunna. Third person, masculine? Abadu. Feminine? Abadna. MashaAllah. Jayid. Okay, let's take a verb from a different group, right? That has a different vowel, yani, instead of fatta, take kasra. Okay? Like, Huh? Samia? Okay, we'll start with Samia. Samia. What is the meaning of Samia? Samia, he heard. Samia. Samia, to hear. Samia, yasma'u. This is from the IA group because it has kasra in the past tense and it has fatta in the present tense. Yasma'u. So it has kasra, fatta. It's from IA group, right? Okay? But the same process, just we have to remember that this verb has kasra here. So we got to make sure we put a kasra there, right? We got to say sami. Now this ayn is going to take sukoon. So the ayn with sukoon is sami'. Huh? Sami'. With the suffix, okay? Sami. Sami'a means he heard. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Naam. Okay, Samia. Samia, right? طيب. First person. سمعتُ. Second person. سمعتَ. Feminine. سمعتِ. نعم. First. A third person. Masculine. سمعَ. Feminine. سمعت. سمعت. هي سمعت. Plural. First person. سمعنا. Second person. Masculine. سمعتم. Feminine. سمعتن. Third person. Masculine. سمعوا. Feminine. سمعنا. Okay, let's do the next one. The rest of that sentence, right? سمع الله لمن حمدا. حمدا means what? He prays. To praise. حمدا. 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 يحمدوا. كسرة فتة. Okay, حمدا. Okay, we're going to put the sukun on the what letter? The dal. Hamid with the suffix, huh? Okay, first person. Hamid. Hamidtu. Second person. Hamidta. Feminine. Hamidti. Third person. Masculine. Hamida. Huwa Hamida. He prays. Huwa Hamidallah. Naam. Feminine. She. Hamidat. Hamida. Hamidat. Hamidat. Plural. First person. Hamidna. Second person. Hamidtum. Feminine. Hamidtunna. Third person. Masculine. Hamidu. Feminine. Hamidna. طيب. This is good. يعني this is how you have to practice. This is the way. يعني it will become easy for you to conjugate the verb. Any question? Any question? Okay. This is what we want to cover today. MashaAllah. So this is good. Okay. There are a couple of points here that I just want to look at on page 7 of these notes. And on the bottom of the page it just says, it has the word, I read this last week, but I just want to remind us of this point. On the bottom of the page it says, mustatirun. Mustatirun means hidden or implied or understood or tacit. Okay? This is in reference what? It's in reference to the dhamir for these two forms of the verb. These two forms of the verb. Dhahaba and dhahabat. It means that the dhamir, the pronoun, which represents the fa'il, doer of the action, in these two forms of the verb, it is mustatirun. It's hidden. Huh? It's hidden, or it is implied. It's understood to be huwa and hiya. It's understood to be huwa and hiya. He and she. Alright? The second word they gave us is al-fa'il. The subject, that is the doer of the action. The fa'il is what we talked about early on, the doer of the action, or the subject. Yani the one that's doing the action of this verb. Okay, the fa'il. This word is very important that you understand this word and know that this word, what does it mean? When I say the fa'il, what is the fa'il? I mean, who is the doer of the action in that verb? Who is doing the action? If I said, for example, jalastum. Jalastum. I say, what is the fa'il in this verb? What is the doer of the action? It's you all. Yani second person, masculine, plural. That's the fa'il. Dhahabtum. Okay? If I said, for example, dhahabu. What is the fa'il in this verb form? Dhahabu. It's what? It's they. It's they. It's third person, masculine, plural. They represents they, a group of men that you're talking about. Third person, masculine, plural. Okay? And likewise, like this. So the meaning of fa'il here means what? It means the one who is doing the action, the doer of the action. When we say the word fa'il, this is what we're talking about. When I ask you in a verb, what's the fa'il? I mean, who is doing the action? Is it masculine? Is it feminine? Is it singular? Is it plural? Is it the first person, second person, or third person? Is it I, we, you, they, he, she? What is it? That's what we mean by fa'il. It also says here, the aleph of the third form for whom is not pronounced. Meaning they're saying here, this third person, masculine plural, this aleph here is not pronounced when you read this word, okay? That's very important to remember that this aleph in this third person, masculine, plural, representing they did something, that aleph at the end is not pronounced. It must be written, huh? But it's not pronounced. There's one case in which it's not written though. Huh? There's a case in which it's not written. And that is, if this form of the verb has a direct object, a pronoun attached to it, huh? That's the object of the verb. Yani, for example, you say, Al-Kitab, Hum Katabuhu. Katabuhu, this aleph is no need to write it there. Because the pronoun, the direct object of the verb is there. Okay, don't worry about this now. That's not so important, but the point I want to make is what? That this aleph, it must be written. That's an exception that I just mentioned. Don't worry about the exception for now. We'll come to it later. But for now, what's important is know that this aleph has to be written. There is an exception to it. If the pronoun, the direct object of the verb, is connected directly to the verb, then the aleph is not written. But other than that situation, that aleph, it must be written. Okay? So that aleph must be written, but it is not pronounced. That's the point, okay? That's what they want to say. That you have to write it, but don't read it. Don't try to figure out, how do I pronounce this aleph here? Yani, how do I pronounce aleph? And we know that the aleph cannot be pronounced here, really. But a person could become confused. We know it can't be pronounced here. Number one, because aleph is not a consonant, right? It's a letter. It's not a consonant. It never takes a vowel of its own. So you can't pronounce it without a vowel. It can't take a vowel. But aleph is only used as a seat for hamza, and there's no hamza written here, or elongation of fatha. And there's no fatha there. So there's no way to read it. You can't read it as elongation of fatha. There's no fatha. You can't read it as a separate letter, as a seat for hamza, because there's no hamza. Alright? So, and since it's not a consonant, it can't take a vowel of its own, so it can't be read. But in case a person became confused, we just want to say what? This aleph, in this only the third person masculine plural form of the past tense verb, that aleph that's written there, it must be written, it must not be pronounced. Don't attempt to pronounce it. Though it must be written. It is called aleph al-wiqaya, the aleph of protection. It is called what? Aleph al-wiqaya. Like Noon al-Wiqaya that we saw in some other places, right? Noon al-Wiqaya. This Aleph al-Wiqaya is to protect the waw at the end of the verb from being mistaken for something else. That it's actually a part of the verb and it's not like waw al-Atif or something like that. Waw that's used as a conjunction. To protect it from being mistaken like this. And this Aleph is written here to end the verb form. And then anything that comes after it, you know that this waw is part of the verb. It's waw al-Jama'ah. The waw that indicates masculine plurality. Okay, after this, the last thing it says, out of the 14 forms and 12 forms, out of the 14 forms, they mean the 10 that we have here, plus the 4 dual forms. Second person, masculine and feminine dual. Third person, masculine and feminine dual. We're not dealing with the duals, right? So other than those 4, we have 10, right? So they're saying, including these 10 and those 4, out of the 14 forms of the verb, 12 forms, in 12 forms, the fa'il, the do of the action, is attached pronoun, the mir muttasil. Only in 2 forms, that is huwa and hiya, the fa'il can be hidden. These 2 forms, we said it has the hidden pronoun, the mir mustatir. Or it can come after the verb in a sentence, meaning as a ism zahir, a noun that comes after the verb to indicate who's the do of the action. Otherwise, as an attached pronoun, these 2 do not have an attached pronoun to indicate the fa'il, but the other forms, all the other forms of the verb have something attached to them that tell you who is the fa'il. Okay, so in these 10 that we are dealing with, we said that all of them have something attached to the end of it except these 2. And if we look at the duals, the other 4 forms, likewise the same thing, they all have something attached to them to indicate the fa'il, do of the action, except these 2 that we already mentioned. Okay, that's the end of what is written here. And if there's any question about anything that we covered today or from the previous classes, anything in reference to ism, jumla ismiya, it's composed of mubtada and khabar, subject and predicate, or anything in reference to يعني the endings of the nouns in Arabic that indicate their case, يعني being يعني ending with dhamma or kasra or fatha, يعني which indicates that it's marfoon or mansubun or majroorun, or anything in reference to nouns. We said that nouns are either masculine or feminine, that they are either singular, dual or plural, that they are either يعني mansubun or majroorun or marfoon, and we said that they are also either definite or indefinite. These are things that we covered in previous classes. If there's any question in reference to any of those things that's not clear to you, this is a good time to ask. Otherwise, we still have a few minutes left. I can make up some questions for you. If you don't have any questions for me, inshallah. Alright? Okay, I'll ask some questions. You have no questions? No problem, inshallah. I have plenty of questions. Huh? You have a question? Oh, it's personal. Okay, save it, inshallah. No problem. Okay, so from the things that we covered in the past, I mentioned some of them now in passing quickly, okay? So I want to ask you some questions. First question is, we said that nouns have endings that indicate their function in the sentence. And is it the subject? Is it the predicate? Is it the object of a preposition? Whatever, right? They have endings that indicate. What are those endings? What are those endings that indicate the function of the word in the sentence? What are those endings? What a word ends with, it ends with dhamma or fatha or kasra. Naam. So if a word ends with dhamma, it indicates that its case ending is what? If it ends with dhamma, it means that it's what? Marfu'un. When we say marfu'un, what do we mean in English? Nominative. Okay, what if it ends with kasra? Then what? It's majrurun. In English we call that what? Genitive. And if it ends with fatha, we say it's mansubun. And that in English is called accusative case. Alright? Jayid, this is good. Okay, we also said that nouns are masculine or feminine. There are different indications of femininity in a word. The most common of those indications that a word is feminine is what? Ta marbuta. Remember we said that if you have a noun or an adjective and you want to change it to feminine, generally speaking, you can just change the ending, just add ta marbuta. And we also said, for example, if you have a word, right? Like you have this word, Hakim. We said this is masculine. If we want to change it to feminine, we said you can do what? What do you have to do to change it to feminine? You have to add to the end of it ta marbuta. And what else do you have to do? Hold on. Okay, you have to change the dum. You have to remove this tanween here. You can put it on the end, but you have to remove it from there. And also, you have to do one more thing. Fatha, meaning the vowel on the last letter before the tarabuta must always be fatha. And in the last letter of any word in Arabic that ends with tarabuta, the letter before tarabuta must always be fatha. Huh? And ta marbuta, we said, must always be the last letter of a word. Yani, no letter can come after ta marbuta. Huh? Therefore, what if you want to add a suffix to a word that ends with ta marbuta? So what if you want to put on the end of it pronoun like kum? So what happens? What do you have to do? I mean, do you have to get a new word or what? Huh? What'd you say? Change it to regular ta. The ta marbuta has to become يعني ta maftuha, regular ta, because ta marbuta must always be the last letter of a word. No letter can come after ta marbuta. If you want to add something after ta marbuta, then you have to get rid of ta marbuta and replace it with ta maftuha, the regular open ta. Alright? Femininity, masculinity. Okay, we said that generally speaking, a word that's masculine, if you want to change it to feminine, you can add ta marbuta. And we also said that not every word that ends with tarabuta is feminine. There are some words that end with tarabuta that are not feminine, right? Like what? Like Usama, like Hamza, like Muawiyah, like, huh? These, but why? What kind of words are these? Huh? No, they are Arabic words. Hamza. They are masculine proper nouns. masculine proper nouns. Yani there are some masculine proper nouns that have the feminine ending, ta marbuta. Those words are not, yani they are names of men. Okay? So technically, linguistically, they are feminine nouns, but they are used for masculine purpose. Okay, they are feminine in that they have the feminine ending. Okay? But yani when we speak to somebody whose name is Usama, we know that we're not speaking to a woman, right? This is a masculine proper noun that has a feminine ending. Okay, so be careful. Not every word in Arabic that has tarmabuta is feminine. And secondly, not every feminine word in Arabic have tarmabuta. There are some feminine words in Arabic that don't have tarmabuta. Like some feminine proper nouns, like... Huh? Oh yeah, Zainabu. I'm sorry. Maryam. Nah, Maryamu, Zainabu, and so on like this, right? Yeah, I was getting about 5 answers at the same time. Khalas, I couldn't hear anything. Yani, when 1 million people supplicate to Allah, He has every dua. And if only 5 people speak to us at the same time, we don't hear anything. And this shows that khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa. Human beings created weak. Human beings created weak. We are weak, even though some of us we think, mashallah, I'm all of that. But only Allah is yani al-azim. Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, Al-Qawi. Now, as far as the human being, definitely we are weak. Alright, how much time? A few other questions, right? A couple of questions. Let's end with these questions from what we talked about previously. We said that the sentence in Arabic is of two types. Two types of sentence in Arabic. What are they? Al-Jumla Al-Ismiya. And the second type? Al-Jumla Fi'liya. Type Al-Jumla Al-ismiya. What type of sentence is this? Nominal sentence. It's a nominal sentence, huh? Al-ismiya. Jumla ismiya. Right? When we say ismiya, yani we can see from this word that it contains the word ism. Huh? Because the jumla ismiya, how do we identify? How we know a sentence is jumla ismiya? Because it starts with an ism. It starts with a noun. Any sentence that starts with a noun, an ism, then this is a jumla ismiya. Huh? Otherwise, if it starts with a verb, then we call it a what? Jumla fi'liya. Jumla fi'liya. Because it has in it this word what? Fi'l. Fi'l. So if a word, if a sentence begins with a fi'l, a verb, then we say it's a jumla fi'liya. We're not so much concerned about the jumla fi'liya now, but what we're more concerned about is the jumla ismiya at this point, right? And the jumla ismiya, it has two essential components. One of them is the mubtada, and the second of them is the khabar. Okay, the mubtada means that it is the subject. And from the word mubtada, also we said that this mubtada, yani has in it the word ba, da, and hamza. Bada'a. Bada'a means what? To begin. Generally speaking, the mubtada begins the sentence. There are some cases in which it may not, but generally speaking, the mubtada begins the sentence, and the khabar follows. What is the khabar? The predicate. The subject and the predicate. The subject is what we want to talk about, and the predicate is what we want to say about it. Naam. Tayyib, one last thing. The noun, generally speaking, if a noun is indefinite, what is the sign that it's indefinite? Tanween. Tanween. Yani a double vowel, double dhamma or kasra or fatha. And one of the most common indications that a noun is definite is what? Alif lam. Alif lam. And again we said what? That there are words which are definite that don't have alif lam. There are some words which are definite even though they don't have alif lam. But alif lam is the general sign that a word is definite. If it has alif lam, it's definite. But there may be other words that are also definite that don't have alif lam. Like for example, like proper nouns. Proper nouns, masculine and feminine, all proper nouns, names of people and places, they're all definite. Also, from the common words that are definite, even though they don't have alif lam, are pronouns. All pronouns are also definite. Huwa, hiya, hum. They're all definite, even though they don't have alif lam. Yani, pronouns, demonstrative pronouns are all definite. Yani, relative pronouns are all definite. Personal pronouns are all definite, and so on like this, okay? As far as the tanween, we said that the general sign that a word is indefinite is tanween. But are there words that have tanween which are not indefinite? Like proper nouns. Proper nouns. Masculine proper nouns take tanween. Unless they end with ta marbuta. Masculine proper nouns all take tanween unless they end with ta marbuta. And all proper nouns are definite. So there are some words that have tanween, and they are not indefinite. But generally speaking, tanween is the sign that a word is indefinite. Any question before we close? طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. I just want to remind you that this lesson is a very important lesson, and you have to take some time to make sure that you have mastered it. If you understand it well, then inshallah you should have no problem as you go along. The next lesson that we're going to deal with on page 8 is in reference to prepositions. Okay, on page 8, we're going to deal with prepositions. And the next subject after that is pronouns. But prepositions, very important. Yani, prepositions, we had a number of prepositions in Medina Book 1. We're going to look at those prepositions and some other prepositions. We have some discussion about prepositions and how they work. So please, preview the next subject on page 8 of these notes before you come to class next week. And as far as these ending suffixes on the past tense verb, if you have not memorized them, start memorizing them today. One today, one tomorrow, one the next day. So when you come back to class next week, inshallah, you should pretty much be finished from them. Jazakum Allahu khair, wa barakallahu feekum.